Please turn to Psalm 51. This is our time in our service where we confess our sins to the Lord and receive His promise of forgiveness. And we're going to read Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, including the title of the psalm. Hear now the Word of God. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. This is God's Word. So today, as we continue our meditations on Psalm 51, we're going to look at verse 3, but I want to review again, why are we looking at Psalm 51, and why is this psalm so valuable to us, the people of God, today? It's a treasure of God's people because it sets forth with such clarity the nature of true repentance. God, in His grace, grants us saving faith in Christ that's given as a gift by Him, and He also grants repentance. That repentance is a saving grace of God as well, bestowed upon us. And so this psalm sets forth, what does repentance look like? When the Spirit of God is at work in someone, what do we see? What are the indications of true repentance? And it's so important that we know what true repentance is, because Satan, on one hand, could use the strategy of keeping a man from repentance completely. He could also use the strategy of deceiving somebody into thinking that they had repented when they really hadn't. Both would be equally deadly. We need to know what true repentance is. But let's also remember, as we speak about repentance, that it is not our repentance that merits God's mercy. It is the work of Christ alone that brings this forgiveness of sins. As Horatius Bonar put in his hymn, Not What My Hands Have Done, he poetically expresses this for us. He says, Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to Thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. So repentance, then, is not what merits our forgiveness before God. It is the work of Christ. But in repentance, we appeal to God. We plead with Him to have mercy upon us for Christ's sake. So Psalm 51 tells us the nature of true repentance. And as we look at verse 3 today, let's read that again. David says, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Particularly that last phrase. Of course, David is acknowledging his sin. He's confessing it in this psalm. But verse 3, at the end, it says, My sin is always or ever before me. What does he mean by that phrase? I think what David is describing in verse 3 is the experience of the conviction and the weight of sin that has not been dealt with, that has not been confessed in his life. He's in the process of confession, as it were, in this psalm, but he's expressing what it feels like when that conviction lays heavy upon him. This is one of the signs that God's Spirit is at work in David, because he feels that conviction. Jesus said that the Spirit of God would be sent to convict the world of sin. And so this is important for us to consider. If our conscience is trained by the Word of God and the Spirit of God is at work in us, that when we sin, we will feel the burden of that sin that we need to deal with. It will be before us, saying to us, you need to deal with this. This is real. This is guilt. This is a burden. You need to confess it. You need to receive the mercy of God. And it is possible that your conscience can become very deadened to this feeling that you should have when you sin. The Bible describes how some people sear their conscience over so that the nerve endings of the conscience, as it were, don't feel anything anymore. As you sin repeatedly, time after time, and not repent of your sins, eventually that conscience is so seared that it almost does nothing at all. It can't feel anything. Just like if you were to burn repeatedly on your skin time after time, you would find that the nerve endings just wouldn't work anymore. You could prick that thing with a knife and it wouldn't have a feeling left. My friends, that's a dangerous condition to be in. If your conscience is seared and it can't feel the conviction of sin, the Word of God comes to it and you feel nothing, you're in a dangerous condition and you need to seek the mercy of God in Christ. But where the Spirit of God is at work, there will be this sense of conviction. There will be this sense that my sin is before me. It's there. I have to deal with it. I must confess this to the Lord. I don't want this burden. I don't want to carry this burden. And the picture that came to my mind of what is it like to have something before you that you just can't ignore is something like being on a one-lane highway out in the middle of nowhere behind a large semi-truck for an hour. Have you been there before? My experiences of this have largely been forged in the trials of driving the Texas Panhandle. And if you've done that, you know what it's like. You're stuck. All you can see is the back of the truck. And you want to get around it. You're always thinking, what can I do? I'm sitting here trying to brake and keep my distance. I can't see in front of me. All I can think about is this truck that is right in my range of vision. That's a little bit what it's like when you have this sin that needs to be dealt with. It's in your range of vision. It's all you can think about, as it were, until it is dealt with. It bothers you. You're thinking, how can I get this out of the way? And so we have to deal with that sin. We can't just ignore it. That feeling that you have when the Spirit of God convicts you is a good thing. It's not for you to just ignore it and tuck it away. It's for you to address it and confess it. Because the Lord is exceedingly merciful. He forgives us of all of our sins. And we can bring that to Him and not have to have it right there in front of us anymore. David in Psalm 32 describes in some other words what this feeling is like. When he had not confessed his sin, Psalm 32 verses 3 through 4, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." He says, I groaned all day long. I wouldn't deal with this, and I knew I needed to deal with this, and I felt God's heavy hand pressing on my shoulders, saying, you need to confess this. You need to address this. And then the very next verse, he says, I confessed my sin, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And then that psalm turns from that difficult feeling, and it shifts to joy, peace. That's what Psalm 51 will do as well. But we'll stick with verse 3 for now as we confess our sins. So how is it with you this morning? Is there some sin that needs to be confessed to the Lord that is always before you? And you're thinking, this is right here. The Spirit of God has reminded me about this time and time again, and I need to address it. Remember the words of Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And so if this is something that God is revealing to you, you know that it's going to be there in front of you. It's one thing when people come to you and they point out the sin and that's what makes it before you. If it's the only time you sense that is when somebody points it out, that's a dangerous sign. Is the Spirit at work in you to reveal these things to you, for them to be ever before you? The good news, though, brothers and sisters, is we don't have to carry that weight. Our Lord Jesus came to carry the heavy weight, and He took it to the cross and paid the debt in full for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so verse 3 then does present to us an important question. Do we have this sense of sin? Is our conscience trained by the word of God? Is God's Spirit awakening in us this sense? And if he has done so, have we confessed it to the Lord? Have we sought his mercy? Have we turned away from that sin? And so, brothers and sisters, let's pray now for tender hearts, hearts that are sensitive to God's word, sensitive to sin, and hearts that look for God's mercy day by day. Let's pray now. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come today needing your mercy. We acknowledge that we are sinners. We've done what is evil in your sight. We have broken your commandments. Have mercy upon us according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit you would awaken us more and more to the reality of our sin so that we could confess them and forsake them and find that daily mercy that you promise us. We plead the blood of Christ for our sins, asking that you would forgive us, and we are confident that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.